Thank you for coming to the audio podcast novel, Lion's Last Kill. This is Chapter 6. He had spent the remainder of the day with Petra, and now that night was falling, he had left, at her urging, to speak to some of his friends about the trip and the new developments. His first stop would be to visit Avram. Of all the people on this world, Avram was his first and most steadfast friend. The two of them had been through much together. Avram had met him on his first day here in this world, and it was through Avram's help that he had gotten things done so well here. And it was through Avram's intervention that he had not been killed on that very first day. He stared at Avram's front door. It had a lock on it and a big iron knocker. This was a surprise. Avram had never locked his door. Never had a lock. People came and going all hours of the day and night, and he was always encouraging them to let themselves in. He grasped the knocker and mildly rapped it several times. While he waited for an answer, he stared at the sturdy wooden door. If Petra lived simply, then this man lived a Spartan existence. He had refused mostly everything anyone ever tried to give him. He was still in the same quarters he had lived in before the changes that Bosch had brought about, although he did some upgrading. He had a library. That was the man's world's greatest passion, and in this respect he was very much like Bosch. He had an undying thirst for information. Bosch took this information and transformed it with his hands, and this is something Avram didn't do. He read incessantly, and he took the information he learned and applied it to other people. He often poked fun at Bosch for this, saying that Bosch used his hands, but he used other people as his hands. Bosch would always playfully retort with this with something along the lines of Avram having 10 thumbs instead of 2, and that he had other people do his bidding because he just couldn't do it himself. Both men had valid points, but in some ways each man envied just a little bit the other's capabilities. Bosch knew there was more than just intelligence in Avram's way of doing things. There was power and influence in it. Bosch could only work on one thing at a time, and although he always had multiple projects running, he could only actually work on one at a time. Avram could set a person along a path to complete something, and then set someone else along another path. In effect, he was getting more than one thing done at once, and the number of people he could set in motion was considerable. At any one time, there were many people doing Avram's bidding. A young man in clerical robes entered the door, and bowed furiously when he saw that it was Bosch who had knocked. He tripped over his own tongue. Come in, Master Avram's been expecting you. Avram always had scribes to help him with the categorization and writing of his various projects. He was a bit of a Da Vinci, and he had many pupils coming in and out of his house all the time. He didn't run a formal school, but he did give regular classes. The boy showed him in, and he stood by the door while the boy went to get Avram. He looked around the apartment. It was plain but comfortable. It had originally been just 4 rooms, main room, kitchen, bedroom, bath. Some 10 years ago, Avram had purchased the apartment next door and had a doorway put in between the 2 apartments. He gutted that 4-room apartment completely and tore out the walls, transforming it into 1 large library and study. The doorway into that library was small, and a heavy tapestry covered it. Avram kept the humidity and the temperature in that room under tight control. He was very fond of his books and wanted to keep them carefully preserved. It was also where he spent all his time and where he gave his impromptu classes. Avram came rushing out of the library dressed in a plain gray robe and sandals. He gave Bosch a big hug, then clapped him on the back several times. "It is truly good to see you. How's Babbage?" This last part he said with a bit of playfulness. He was one of the few people that knew about Babbage. He learned very on that most people just assumed that the existence of Babbage was an aberration of his mind, some kind of bizarre schizophrenic abnormality. Bosch laughed at the mention of Babbage. "We're doing well. Babbage is as talkative as ever." Even though he talked to Babbage on a daily basis, he didn't just consider him to be a person, and he never had. He was just an interface to a library of stored information. Avram had his library where he kept hundreds of beloved books that he could refer to over and over, as he needed them, or as his whims dictated. For Bosch, this was the same with Babbage. It was his library, and he could refer to Babbage over and over. Avram pulled away the curtain covering the library door and ushered him inside. It was full of young men and women all dressed in robes. Electricity shot through the air as they realized who he was. Some of them bowed and some of them lowered their heads. This always made Bosch uncomfortable. Maybe his stature in this world might be one of the reasons why he didn't come back so often anymore. Affen waved his arms at them and clapped his hands together. I have company. We will continue this class tomorrow evening. You're all dismissed. Don't forget to study your materials. He pointed at one of the young men. Bazeth, you stay behind. Bosch watched as the group gathered up reading materials and quickly lined their way out of the study. They were a good group of young people. They had that look of intelligence and quenchable curiosity about them. This world is in good hands. This is the first generation afforded the ability to pursue things other than survival. They would be the generation of artists, poets, and philosophers. Until a man's stomach is full, he can't afford to think about little else. But once it is full, some beautiful things can come forth. Avram sat in his usual chair and Bosch in his. The two of them had spent many hundreds of hours in these chairs discussing every topic imaginable. In the early years, it was Bosch who had done most of the talking, while Avram listened, took notes, and drew sketches. But in the later years, as Avram came into his wisdom, he was doing more and more of the talking, and Bosch was spending hours listening. It didn't feel the same with the third person in the room, though. Bazeth sat down in the chair near Avram, and the young man who had answered the door brought in a bottle of wine and glasses for them. He poured wine for Avram and Bosch and didn't pour any for Bazeth, who didn't notice and didn't ask for any. This is Bazeth. Bosch pointed at him. He isn't a student?
No,
Avram said. He's a bodyguard. Varga had placed him by my side. Bosch looked the man over carefully. He didn't notice at first, but the man did have some characteristics. He was older than the rest of the young people who were there, maybe around 30. And he had a presence about him. Not the traditional presence you would consider a bodyguard to have. He wasn't big and muscular, tough guy. He was thin, but not sallow. His frame and the way he moved spoke of speed coupled with whipcord strength. He was wearing a pair of pants and a tunic. Over the tunic was an autumn coat made of some strange material. It looked like some kind of metallic weave, and it hung loosely around his frame. Being his profession was bodyguard, Bosch guessed that it was some kind of lightweight armor material. It looked like it would give a certain amount of protection against blades and projectiles, yet it was lightweight and didn't encumber the wearer. Bazeth would have plenty of freedom of movement in it. Being that it was a bit baggy meant that he probably had some weapons hidden in the chest or waist area. Bosch looked him over for more clues. The man wore comfortable leather shoes that looked like moccasins, but each was capped with a metal tip at the front, over the toes. He summarized all this for Babbage, and added the supposition that the metal-tipped toes meant that the man was probably very effective with his feet as weapons, as well as his hands. Those metal tips could work very effective as pinpoint accurate bludgeons. He spoke directly to the man he bashedly scrutinizing. The man's face was angular as his body was, and his eyes were very keen. Few things would escape his observation. You don't fit the typical mold of what I consider to be a bodyguard. I would expect you to have more bulk and more muscle mass. Back where I come from, bodyguards are always very big men. He didn't really want a response for the man. It was more important to Bosch to see how the man reacted and how he approached the open-ended question. Would he take offense? Could he quickly and clearly formulate a response? Strength and presence are good at intimidating people into behaving themselves. And if you are big and strong, you can better defend yourself. But if you are protecting someone else, speed in thought and action are most critical. I am very fast, and very little misses my eye. He was right, Bosch thought, as he nodded his head. To defend someone else's life from a real threat of assassination had nothing to do with intimidation, and everything to do with the ability to take real action, and to take it very quickly. Avram chuckled. You are always testing. It's what makes you great. He paused and looked Bazeth over himself as if seeing him for the first time. He isn't just a bodyguard. He's a very well-trained in the art of subterfuge and assassination. He can kill very readily. Takes an assassin to know one, I guess. He laughed at the expensive Bazeth, who didn't even flinch. Varga had assigned him to me. Came the day after the attempt on my life.
With that, he smiled, and a small bit of regret seeped into the sentence. Boss was shocked at this. He sat forward on the edge of his chair, waiting for more. Varga, seeing his anticipation, continued. It happened about a month ago. I was working late with a student on an engineering manual, and as the night wore on, I encouraged him to get some rest. He retired to my bed, and I continued to work right here. I fell asleep in this very chair, and in the morning, when I went to wake him, I discovered his throat had been slit, cleanly and quietly. An assassin must have came and went into my bedroom, and thinking it was me, killed the young engineer, then left without checking the rest of the house. This room is an anomaly, and easy to miss. Who would think that the two apartments had been turned into one? This was true, Bosch thought to himself. The apartments in this building were all the same. They all had the four-room layout, and in the middle of the night, in the darkness, you could check all four rooms and think you were done. Little would you know that a tapestry hanging on a wall led into another room. He pointed at the heavy tapestry that covered the doorway into the rest of the apartment. I guess you could say that a simple carpet saved my life. He ruminated on this a bit and sighed. One stroke of luck is something that some men get. I was lucky that night. My young engineering student wasn't. Bosch added an obvious observation to the story. So this assassin had never been in your apartment before, or he would have known. Well, at least he had not been in here since you added the library. Bazith added his observation to the conversation. He was left-handed. Bosch was surprised that the man spoke. Again, he had to fight against his preconceptions about bodyguards. They weren't always big boots, and they weren't always stoic. Bosch lifted his eyebrows in wait of an explanation, and Bazith continued. The cut is clearly from a left-hander, and the man was a dominant left-hand because he had to walk around the far side of the bed to do it. Avram nodded his head at this. Bazith here is perfectly ambidextrous. Makes you wonder about how perfectly balanced his brain is. Again, he was taking a jab at the bodyguard, but got no response. It was a half-hearted jab, though. It didn't have the gusto that he had always put into his jabs. Bosch figured that over the last month, Avram had tried many times to draw the man out with playful barbs and insults, but no matter how hard he tried, nothing worked. Although Avram had many friends and many visitors, he still was a very solitary man, and having another person living side by side with him every moment of every day and night probably bothered him, and he placed little barbs to alleviate his own discomfort. This conversation gave Bosch a little discomfort of his own, but neither he nor Avram mentioned it. Bosch himself was left-handed, and it didn't really matter because he figured that Bazid has probably already noted the fact. So instead of mentioning it, he raised a question. Have there been any other attempts? A slight quaver of concern was in his voice, and Avram picked up on it. No. Just the one on me, as far as I know. Petra is safe. When she refused a bodyguard, Varga assigned two to her. They follow from a close distance. She knows they're there, but she just ignores them. You didn't notice them? Bosch shook his head as if he could have, he would have given Babbage a good kick. Wasn't it just yesterday he told him to keep an eye out? Avram continued on. I'm sure you have one, too. Been with you since you stepped into the meeting room. He's probably lurking just outside the door somewhere. You wouldn't have noticed him. I told you, they're very good at what they do. He stared at Bosch and realized that he hadn't known he was being followed, so he cackled and slapped his knee. He always enjoyed it when Bosch didn't know something. It seemed to him quite the anomaly, for it wasn't too long ago when he was convinced that Bosch knew everything. After a short pause, Avram explained. They're a small sect. They're a branch of Varga's army, and they're very secretive. Show him your tattoo. He waved his arm at Bazith in a motion of encouragement. Bazith stood up and carefully rolled up the sleeve of his right arm. He came over to Bosch and showed him a tattoo on the inside of his forearm. It was a beautiful multicolored snake eating its own tail. With the mouth clamped on its tail like this, it formed a perfect circle. It reminded Bosch of the worm Ouroboros. Back home, that was an ancient tale and an ancient symbol, so this struck Bosch as a little peculiar. He had never heard of any tale like this on this world, and that meant that he was the source of it. He made a quick note to Babbage to look this up and find out who he had told the tale of the Worm of Ouroboros to, and when Babbage found the answer, he would know who had started this sect of assassin bodyguards. It was something that might be good to know. This is the end of chapter 6.